There we go. Oh, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Awesome.
I'm good.
It's crazy.
How are you?
Good. Johnny was having a little moment. You can see that light on his chest.
He was the worst.
He was having a moment trying to fix it. So
I'm the most high maintenance video person in the group. So the one thing about me, if the light's in my eye, I will not record it.
No, can't do it. none of this.
Exactly. No. Yeah. I mean, I know my face is made for podcasting, not video, but still, come on.
Got it. Yes. I got that too. So.
I know Kung Fu. Show me.
Johnny, do you want to? Johnny always starts us off.
No, so. You start it off, Jay.
No, because you've got the catchphrase.
No, I don't.
Do you want me to, Johnny?
Making us look bad. Yeah, you're making us look bad. Jay, come on.
Every cast, Johnny goes, "All right, Knights," in like this really deep, soothing voice, and that's how he starts us off.
Start us off with some ASMR. Let's go.
All right, Knights, we got a special guest on today. Jay, do the introduction for me.
Okay, so this week we have on Nick Podell. Am I pronouncing it that correctly? Podell?
You are.
I knew I was because I've heard enough of your audiobooks, but I wanted to say that for the sake of the people reading the name.
Who just look at it and say, like, I don't know, I give up.
Yeah, exactly. Podell?
Why is that H in there? Yeah. It has no business being in there.
I'm digging the book wall, by the way. I noticed that is...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, have you read all those books, or are you one of those people that just buy a bunch?
No, see, this right here, this is all my wife.
Really?
She is an avid book reader. She will not listen to audiobooks, especially my audiobooks, because she has to listen to me talk all day, every day. But she is an avid reader, and she's one of those old school ones where I gotta hold it in my hands. I gotta
tangible
smell the pages. This e-reader crap, get out of here. So
I'm with her. No, I'm teaching your wife on this.
This is her library right here. So I'm just posing in front of it to make me look smarter than I actually am.
Right. I love it. That, you know, as you said that, all I could think was Emperor Palpatine going, ironic that you married someone who has to have a book, and you've done, I think, 400 books now in audio.
Something like that.
Yeah. Of audiobooks. Yeah. Crazy. Huge number. Days of time spent in front of a mic.
whole days, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's like how much time we put into Skyrim, you know, comparable.
No, it actually is for me. I think I've logged almost like 400 hours in Skyrim, and okay, I have about that time. I have about that time in audiobooks. Now, to be fair, I started them roughly the same time. I started my career in audiobooks right around the time Skyrim came out. And I've been kind of logging equal hours in both, so.
Days, that's awesome.
Me and Jay have a pack. When they drop the new one, we're not going to talk to any humans for 2 weeks straight because we're just going to play, so we get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I legitimately told my wife, I'm like, I'm taking time off work, like 2 weeks, no work, just Skyrim. And she said, no, you're not, like, dead serious. I'm like, no, I am. It's been an argument. Maybe one of the bigger arguments of our marriage is Skyrim. It's so bad.
Nice.
So you're married now. Do you mind giving us just a quick, you know, obviously you're a narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us just a little bit of a background, like maybe where you grew up? We know you're on the more towards the East Coast right now. Just kind of like a general you.
Yeah, sure. So I hail from the Mitten State of Michigan. I spent most of my youth here. Went to a local university in Michigan. And finally settled on a theater major after like 4 years of not really knowing what to do. So was going to graduate with a theater degree, but then every professional that came through had said, like, okay, theater's got to be the number one relationship in your life. You have to be married to the theater. And I was like, I kind of want to have a wife and kids someday. So deuces, I'm out. And changed my major. I was like, okay, I guess I'm not acting. So changed it to whatever was the closest to a theater major that I didn't have to spend another 4 years. Because I was already at like year eight at this point. So I spent enough time to be a doctor without any sort of credentials whatsoever. But then I was working at a bar in the downtown area that I lived near and hated it. And my mom said, hey, there's this audiobook company in the next town over that makes these audiobooks that we used to listen to when you were a kid. You should do that. I was like, okay, mom, sure. Yeah, you're my number one fan. All right. So I just, to humor her, I tried it. I sent in a demo and one of the casting directors there, since this was in the next town over, she actually remembered me from high school. Her son and I did high school theater together. So she was like, all right, we'll give him a chance. Sure. But they actually liked the demo. So they called me in for an audition to do a book. I got it and then quit my job because I was like, yay, I'm acting. And then they said, okay, so you probably won't hear from us for another year or two because that's how this business goes. And I was like, oh, crap. I just quit my job. Okay. But then I wrote it out and I was like, okay, let's try this. Let's see if I can make it as an actor. And so just got another, you know, kind of minimum wage job. I was working at a Barnes & Noble, you know, books. And then got another audiobook. And then shortly after that, another one. And so it was like, oh, this is ramping up. Met my wife at said bookstore. And then finally they approached the audiobook company that I was working with primarily approached me and said, hey, we can keep you busy. You should quit your job. And I was like, okay. I was newly married at this point, but my wife was like, you know what? Let's do it. So I did quit my job. Just kept cranking out more and more and more audiobooks until about 6 years ago now. Decided, hey, I need to build a home studio because I'm getting more and more authors that are contacting me directly that say, hey, I want you to do my book, but I don't have a deal with a publishing company. So I was like, hey, there are ways around this. And so I started working directly with authors while still working with publishing companies and just kind of doing both. And it has been nonstop since then. So boom, there's the last 12 years in a nutshell.
That's awesome. And you've added some people to your family, which is great. We heard you had two beautiful daughters.
I do. Yep. 3 and 5. So they're a handful.
That's awesome.
So, two girls, two dogs and a cat. So it's a busy house.
That's so awesome. Yeah. You know, it's so funny right now. I can't stop smiling for people listening just because I've listened to so many hours of your work at this point that to like hear you talk normal, I can catch glimpses of some of your characters and it just cracks me up. Like some of the things you say, I'm like, that's Quoth or that's, I don't know, whoever, Alodin. But you know, it's cracking me up that you've got, I don't know, you're a little, like I can just hear bits. It's awesome. So I was going to ask at this point, I think one of the bigger questions people always ask is, you know, what's the biggest book you've done so far? I looked through kind of like some of your top books. What would you say is like the book that people approach you the most about, or that, you know, your people sure talk to you about, or like that has led to other business maybe?
So I think you nailed the one probably that was the biggest one, which was the King Killer Chronicles by Patrick Rothfuss. That one definitely put me on the map, so to speak, because that was a very popular book, very well received. And my narration of it is apparently well received as well. So that is probably the one that I get the most recognition for. Second to that would most likely be Alaron Kong's The Land, which is a lit RPG series. Book 7 of that series came out just, I think, 2 years ago. And we, the author and I joked that we broke Audible. Because it was, I kid you not, like you thought the Rothfuss books were long. The Land Book 7 was 40 8 hours long.
Wow.
And so when that dropped on Audible, there were so many people that tried to download it at once that it broke.
Crashed.
For like a day, Audible crashed.
You did it.
And so I don't fully believe that it was really us that did that, but I know it contributed.
I mean, so. It has to have. If it lined up on that day, like, you know, it had to have been a portion of it was you for sure.
Right. Well, I can tell my ego that.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I've read some of those really long books, and like I look at my phone and I'm like, holy cow, gigabytes are on there because of, you know, either Sanderson or Rothfuss. He's got long books too. A few mm-hmm. of them. Yeah. So funny. You mentioned that, you know, people really liked your narration. I was just curious, do you ever have people like send you hate mail as a narrator, or is that not really a thing?
So I am convinced that somewhere, somebody, maybe it's my wife, that when I think she's just at home all day playing with the girls, that she's actually like running interference on the internet, deleting all of the negative posts. Because amazingly, I get so little criticism. And I mean, I will get some constructive criticism at times where people will say, hey, I love your work. Your female characters all sound the same. You need to diversify them. Or why did you choose this accent for this character when clearly they were from this area? Things like that. But by and large, I have managed to avoid the worst of the interwebs. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if it's a guardian angel or something, but somebody's deleting all the negative posts because I don't get any. I mean, I know that there are definitely, like, if I can search them out and find negative reviews of stuff that I've done, but for some reason, the hateful people don't seek me out to say like, hey, you suck, go die.
Yeah.
Which
some people do. It's like,
I know. And I'm amazed at like, where is all this hate coming from? I don't understand it.
But Jay's running interference as well. He's been stuck in quarantine. That's what he was doing. Yeah. It's actually really cool because I was never into audiobooks. I'm a tangible reader, but mm-hmm. I started a job where I clean the gym a lot. I work at a gym, and we have time. We have like an hour to clean, and so Jay's like, "Hey, you have an hour. They let you listen to stuff," and he put me into the Name of the Wind. And I've never before, and I was on the floor because I felt like I was A, playing D&D, A, shocked at how you're like ripping these out of nowhere. Like I was just, and it helps me keep track of people too. Like if I forget their names, but I'm like, oh, I recognize that voice. That was that character mm-hmm. from earlier. So for me, it was a really good to come in from you, not like a narrator that's just simple and monotone or like a British lady, someone like you're used to. It's really cool. So how do you do that? Like, do the publishers give you an idea? Does the authors give you an idea? Or do you read the whole book and be like, I think he sounds like this?
Yes. How about that? It's a little bit of everything. It depends on the project. There are some authors who are very hands-on and they want to be a part of the collaborative process and they want it to be a collaborative process. But then there are other authors who say, I wrote the book, my work's done. You're the voice actor, do what you're going to do. And then they just give me free rein. And sometimes it's a mix of in between where an author will have very clear ideas for some characters, but then others just say, yeah, do what you want. And so in that case, you know, yes, I read through the entire manuscript before I record it. I can't go into a recording cold. I know there are some people who can. I'm not that talented. I have to know what I'm reading before I get in the booth. And it just helps me to better understand where character choices are going with what's given in the text. Because if we don't find out until chapter 37 that Stephen has a Scottish accent, well, dang it. Now I got to go back and re-record the first 37 chapters. So.
And do they give you, because I have a hard time, like, because you pronounce a name in your head, it makes sense. And then like, you like the author's like, no, this is how you really do it. And their name's like that, where you read like, there's no way this is how they pronounce it. There's too many vowels. And then figure out that
sometimes more often than not, though, I find where I will, because part of my prep work is to go through and just make a note of every word that I'm not 100% certain on, because a lot of times in fantasy, like, it's made up names and places, yeah. You know, and so I'll make a note of it and I'll send this list to the author and we'll go through it before I record so that they can tell me, you know, how is this pronounced? And 9 times out of 10, I kid you not, the author will come back and say, well, I have no idea how you say that. Well, what do you mean you don't know? Well, I know how you spell it, but I've never said it. So then we have to try to figure it out either together, or they will just say, do what you're going to do. Whatever sounds good.
Just keep it consistent. Yeah, that's
exactly.
On that note, I was going to ask, so this is a question that I've been dying to know for like years. As you're reading, do you like read one character's lines and then go back while you're in it, you know, because you're in a voice, and then do you go back and switch your voice and read another character's lines, or do you just switch on the fly?
Switch on the fly.
Seriously.
I read it just like you would if you were to read it yourself.
And accents, can you just jump between accents like that?
For the most part, sometimes I have to stop and check. I'm like, oh, crap. What did Dennis sound like again? So then I'll have to go back and reference it. But for the most part, yeah, it's just go back and forth on the fly.
Holy cow. That blows my mind. Do you mind just doing like two accents real quick? Maybe like a Scottish and then a, I don't know, another accent that you enjoy doing? Just real quick.
Sure.
Sorry. I'm like, do this for us. Come on. You got it.
Dance, monkey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, crank them out, man.
I guess it's not too hard to go back and forth between two different accents in one time. And when you just have two characters talking at the same time, and then all of a sudden you go into a Russian accent. And they just switch like that. It's very quick, and you don't really notice that there's two separate characters talking. But yeah, you know, sometimes you do got to go back and forth, and they're riffing off each other. And so
that's crazy.
Okay, I'm fanboying a little bit. Like, desperately wanted you to do that, and I was like, it's kind of rude. Like, I felt like I was like, dance for me or whatever. But I love it. I think it's so cool that you can do that. To me, it just blows my mind.
Well, I get that question a lot. People will ask, you know, how I do it. And I think the majority of people assume that I go through and record all of the dialogue from one character and then go back and record all of the dialogue from another character and then splice it all together. And I know that you can't do that. It just seems like it would take a lot more time. Whereas I am, for the most part, able to switch on the fly. But a lot of that is part of the prep work, is, you know, marking up my manuscript beforehand. I mean, it looks like a unicorn vomited all over my script by the time I'm done prepping it, because it's just colorful rainbows of notations everywhere. So that when I'm reading it in the booth, like, I know, you know, red is Denna, purple is Kloth. Yeah, I've got those visual cues that help me when I'm in the booth. So it helps me go on the fly like that.
That's awesome.
Have you had any like weird fan requests? Like, do they go like, hey, can you do this accent and leave a voicemail for my friend? Or do you get anything like that? Like,
like a cameo
something
thing?
Jay would do if he met you in real life. He would be like, hey, do this accent, call my friend Johnny.
I have actually.
Yes.
I've had some people who have emailed me. They'll say like, you know, my husband is a huge fan of the Rothfuss series. Can you wish him a happy birthday in this character's voice? And, you know, if it was an all the time thing, I would probably have to pass, but it's so infrequent that I'm just like, you know what? If it's going to make your day, sure.
Right. So sometimes these crazy nerds are like, hey, can you be on our podcast?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, you know what?
Right. Right.
Fine. It's going to make, I can tell this kid's going to like, it's going to make his whole year, whatever.
Not quite that full of myself, but.
Well, it is, for the record. Like so my cousin got me into The Name of the Wind. He said it's really good. And so I downloaded it, started listening to it, absolutely loved it. And I work with an author, and he would talk about it all the time too. And so it cracked me up that I found your information. And I was like, I got to email him. I got to try. Like, this is, for me is, I don't know. It's like meeting Darth Vader. You know, I'm Kylo Ren right now, just like losing it. Speaking of which, are there any other, this is a little tangent. Are there any other nerd, what would you call it, Johnny, like series or fandoms that you kind of follow? Dragon Ball Z, Star Wars, Marvel Comics.
I noticed you have a habit of painting miniatures, which is something we do for D&D. So I was all about that. I saw that on your website, and I was like, kindred spirit. I spent many an hour painting a miniature.
So that is something that I just got into a couple of years ago. I'm a history nerd also, and I really love the Napoleonic era of history. So the black powder, horse and musket kind of thing. And so a couple of years ago, I got into miniature wargaming in the 10 millimeter scale, but I'm a cheapskate. So instead of buying the expensive tiny figures, I just went garage sale shopping and thrift store shopping and picked up a whole bunch of games of Risk. And all of those little pieces are the little soldiers and the little cavalry dudes. And so I just painted those and started playing. And then just this year, like beginning of quarantine, my friends that would humor me and play this Napoleonics game with me finally broke me and got me to start collecting Warhammer.
Oh,
nice. So that is a dark, dark rabbit hole that I caution anybody to get into, but really also encourage it because it's a lot of fun. So that's about the extent of my mini painting right now.
I love it. Any other fandoms you follow out of curiosity?
I was a huge fan of Star Wars. It really started to taper off with this latest trilogy. I just was very disappointed with the fact that they just kind of remade episodes 4, 5, and 6. But that being said, I still love Star Wars.
Good save. I think the hate mail is about to come. Good save.
Yeah.
It's okay. We talk about other fandoms.
What's that?
Oh, we talk about it all the time. Star Wars. We've made videos about it. We've done everything. Like, I joke that I think about The Last Jedi every day. You know, I actually really do every day. Nice. Whether that's good or bad, I think about it every day.
Nice. I'm trying to think of something else. I mean, Skyrim is probably one of my biggest ones. I really, really love Skyrim. And converted a few years ago to PC so that I could mod it.
All right.
That's mods are where it's at. Really, I think that's about it. My wife is a big superhero nerd. She's all about DC. So some of that sort of rubs off on me, I guess.
We're pretty big DC fans. We take some deep cuts every now and again into it and lose half of our followers because they're like, we don't even know what you're talking about. Who's Booster Gold? Like,
yeah. There's more than one Robin. Kate lost me. Unfollow.
Wait, there's more than just Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman? What are you talking about?
Which universe are we in right now?
Yeah. Just New 52. That makes no sense. I'm out. That's great. It seems like you married well, which is smart.
Oh, I did. I so married above my level. Oh,
above
yeah.
Above your weight. Yeah, you're bucks
good,
above your
good
weight.
Good goal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So is there a, are you tired of the fantasy genre? Do you want to do like sci-fi? Would you like to do a romance? I mean, that's kind of a, just to explore it, to get your feelings out there, to try it, or because you kill it a fantasy. I personally don't want you to move, but
and
you
I know
get bored.
He has done so, pretty much everything at this point, but I think right? You're more based in fantasy, right?
Yeah, I have done just about every genre. I've even done some romance. I've recorded Nora Roberts and Danielle Steele. If I was going to just pick up a book and read for pleasure, which honestly, sorry to your listeners and viewers, I don't usually read for pleasure anymore because I do it all day, every day. But if I was going to pick up a book, it would most likely be either a historical biography or, you know, something like that, or fantasy. Just because I love the stories, I love the characters, I love the depth of the world that is created by these authors. And as far as narration goes, I think it offers some of the most diverse characters that you can have in a series. Because, I mean, if you go with a historical fiction, you're kind of holding to where does your story take place. Most of the people are going to sound the same to a degree. You know, they're going to, if it's a regional thing, you're going to have a lot of the same accents, you know, unless you get something like, Ken Follett's The Fall of Giants that took place over, you know, the whole smattering of countries involved in World War One. So, I mean, yeah, you get some variety there, which was totally awesome. But I feel like fantasy just, it gives you so much room to play as a narrator that it's, I am happy to stay in that playground. I do like some of the sci-fi stuff as well, and I enjoy it when I get to branch out into that arena. But I mean, honestly, sci-fi or fantasy is kind of my home. So
that's cool. That was one of my friends asked that question. His name's Kevin Nielsen. I work with him, and he's an author. He wrote the Shirani series, and that was his question: is what type of book was your favorite to narrate? So I'm glad you answered that. Shout out to him. He says the same thing. He's like, he's my favorite narrator. And so when I told him that I was narrating you, he was like, oh. He was nice. He was pretty excited. As much as you can be through, you know, work, I am, because we're all working from home.
You're right.
He sent me some gifts.
Smiley face emoji.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a gif of, I don't know, Steve Carell doing this. Something like that. That's awesome. So I had one other question from one of my friends. He asked, let me just pull it up real quick. And I was kind of curious about this too, but he said, how do you feel about narrating a book where you have to say things that maybe aren't super comfortable to say? Like, you know, if you were narrating a book where maybe someone says something racist, sexist, or kind of immoral or dark, is that ever an issue, or are you just in the zone? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So content is one of those things that I have had to, that I've had to deal with in the past few years here. Starting out, like, it was just, I'll do any job. I don't care. I'll read dragon porn. I don't care. Just give me work.
Didn't know that existed, but
it does. But now I'm to the point in recent years where I can be a little bit more choosy about what I do. And so I generally will, when I'm approached either by an author or a publishing company, I will ask them, what is the content? Things that deal with racism, sexism, I try to look at how it's dealt with. If it's glorified, I say hard pass.
Right.
If it's something that's just in the context of the story of this is what the characters are dealing with, and either it's portrayed as these things are negative, you know, that the author is trying to convey that, or if it's just that this exists in the world and the characters have to deal with it, I'm okay to do things like that, because I don't want to tell readers or listeners what they need to think. So I'm okay with reading a story that contains these elements as long as it's not glorifying them or, you know, in a positive propaganda sort of way.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to read a neo-Nazi book. I'm right. Just not. Mm-hmm. But the other issue that I've had to come to grips with is graphic sexual content. I prefer not to have that in my life. And so if an author says, hey, this book is pretty smutty, I'll say, great, let me recommend some other narrators to you because I will not read this content. And that's caused some issues with some authors that, you know, they would say like, well, why not? And I have to explain it to them that this is just a personal choice that I've made. I don't want to read that kind of material. Anything that's really sexually graphic or misogynistic, probably because I live with three very strong-willed women and I don't want that to be my legacy to them. I don't want them to pick this up. I don't want my girls to pick this up and say like, oh, this is a book that daddy read. why did you read this? Is this what you think of women? I don't want them to ever question that. So
hats off to you.
I just say no thank you.
That's so awesome. That's really cool. That's a good answer. So, like, you would be willing to read, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird if someone approached you to narrate that or whatever, even though it deals with, you know, kind of racism or whatever, but it portrays it in a good light. Not racism in a good light, but overcoming racism. Wow.
Exactly. Sorry. Exactly. Yes.
That was a struggle.
We'll tell our producer to edit that
I knew what you meant. I knew what you were going for.
Thank you. I promise I was meaning to sound noble.
Right.
Cool.
Sorry. So yeah, I try to be a little judicious about the content that I read. And I mean, sometimes if there's a little bit of, you know, racy content in there that's, you know, a little steamy that I wouldn't necessarily want my grandma to listen to, I'm okay with some. It's right. When we get gratuitous, like Game of Thrones level nudity, I'm just like, you know what? Nah, somebody else can do that.
And you don't want to carry it with you. You know what I mean? I'm the type of person where I watch certain movies or I read certain books and it stays with me for like weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So why would you want that in your job, you know?
No.
That's awesome. Hats off to you. I really think that's cool.
I'll turn this to a lighter note. Since you do have adorable girls, and I'm assuming you read to them, do they love the voice? Like, is that a perk? That must be a perk of being, like, your kid. Because, like, my parents would do it for me, and they're just monotone, so I never had anything cool. But, like, do you love to do voices for your girls? And they're like, Daddy, this voice, that voice.
So, you would think that. But I can't tell you how many times I have heard, Dad, please stop. I kid you not, when my eldest daughter was probably about 6 months old, I want to say, I was changing her diaper one day and just decided I'm going to be silly. And I started talking in a British accent. She started screaming at the top of her lungs. And I was like, oh my gosh, whoa. And then she stopped. And I was like, do you not like British, Dad? Screaming again. I was like, okay. We're not going to do that. So I found out that my eldest did not like British Dad when she was really little. And more often than not, unless I am quoting like Olaf or Kristoff or something like that, they don't want me to do it. They're just like, Daddy, talk in your normal voice.
That's awesome.
But I'm just now getting to the point with my 5-year-old that she will sometimes say, Daddy, can you do voices for this one? I was like, oh, you betcha.
Awesome.
What do you want me to do?
That's so cool. Okay, sorry, Johnny. I'm kind of reeling from that last story. You threw me on my game, Johnny. It was too cute. Too cute.
Yeah, well, because it's like, you know, when your parents have tattoos and the kids have, they're like, oh, tattoos are dumb. My parents have it. And then, like, your kids are like, oh, my dad does voices. That's lame. To all their other friends come over, like, do the voices. And they're like, no, that's lame. Keep moving on. Let's go read with mom.
Exactly.
What'll be funny is, you know, when your daughter's talking to maybe her boyfriend or something on the phone and you take the phone from her and do one of your really deep, scary voices, you know, and be like, you're seeing my daughter now, are you? You know, like when she's 17 or whatever, you can really freak him out.
I could, but then he's going to meet me and be like,
That's how it was in my house. My back, because I'm older, so you'd have to call our house to talk to me. And my dad would answer, and he had this deep voice. And my friends thought he was Mufasa. And then they met him, like, hey, 5'9", what are we doing? Jonathan's not here right now. They meet him, and they're like, what is this? This isn't scary at all. I get that.
That's awesome.
Memory lane.
Okay, well, we don't want to take all your night. We've covered most
of
my questions.
We will.
We have this bad habit of just like time passes. It's like we're playing Skyrim again, you know?
Yeah.
We're on to the next quest.
Especially when we find a nerd that just makes us laugh. We're like, no, keep talking to us. We need it. Feed us.
Well, guys, this is a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to be on the show.
Yeah. We were going to ask, is there any projects you would like our fan base to check out, maybe that you've done, or any, you know, shameless plugs you want to put in? No pressure. But...
Sure. Well, you commented on the fact that you looked at the website. I did finally update my website because I had enough people ask me, hey, did you die? Because my website was last updated in like 2013, I want to say. And it was pathetic. It was a bare bones thing. And so finally just had a new one made for me that I'm going to really try to stay current on. I'm not big on social media. I'm largely a pretty private person, so I don't blast stuff out there all the time, but I'm going to try. I'm really going to try to do more with this. So, we can direct people to nickpodell.com, and they can sign up for a newsletter that will probably be infrequent, but it's there. As far as projects that are coming out, I do believe on the 24th and the 25th of this month, a project that I just wrapped up not too long ago, is going to be coming out on Audible, called, Paradigm 2045. It's a new series by author Robert W. Ross. I absolutely love his books. He's branching out from his previous series was more of an urban fantasy. This one is sci-fi. So it was a lot of fun to branch out into something new. And I love his writing, the characters that he does. If you want the rapid fire back and forth characters, he is so good at writing banter back and forth between characters. And it's so much fun to give voice to. The problem is he and I are friends. And he likes to really push the limits on what I can do. So the main protagonists of this story are a Kenyan woman, an Irishman, a Chinese man, a Norwegian woman, a Russian woman. And these are all the main characters. And they're all talking back and forth with each other. So I have to go back and forth between all these voices. And it's so much fun and so chaotic, but so good. So I'm really looking forward to that one coming out and people being able to pick that one up.
I'm super excited. I'm going to pre-order that right now if I can. That sounds amazing. No, it really does. Like, I'm excited.
Yeah, you've got two people already who are going to download it. So yeah.
All right.
You got two commitments already. I'm sure you'll get more.
Two sales. Yes.
We do want to send you some merch. We'll get some info privately, but we'll be sending you some shirts. I'm rocking one of our purple versions. We also just designed a whole bunch of different logos and shirts and stickers. So we'll send you some swag.
You'll be like, awesome. We want people to come back in the future. So we figure we'll bribe them.
Right.
If you're on a future past.
No bribery necessary. You guys, yes. This was great. Thank you.
We got it on record.
That's right.
Especially, so who knows when Rothfuss will produce his final book. You may have forgotten your voices by then. You're going to have to do a lot of homework going back, you know.
I'm hoping a lot of listening to do.
I know. You never know. With Rothfuss, he's a wild card. He does great things, and he takes his time. So we'll wait. But when that one comes out, we for sure will try and schedule you on. We'll really want to talk about it. Not sure if you're involved at all with Comic Cons. Johnny and I are trying to get more involved with them, so I don't know if we'll ever meet up at those or not.
This year, actually, I was invited to be on a couple of panels at Dragon Con, which is usually down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a virtual event this year because of COVID.
Right.
And so I will be on a couple of panels with that this year. So, but other than that, I mean, I haven't been to any cons yet, but I would absolutely love the opportunity to go. So,
well, we'll try and get, so one of the top 10 is out here in Salt Lake. Johnny and I are both from Salt Lake area, and one of the top 10 Comic Cons is out here. So as we get, you know, more involved with them, we'll be like, hey, we need to get Nick Podell flown out here. And
slip that name in.
Yeah,
exactly. We need to moderate a panel with him. So do you mind bringing him in?
We have some friends who are on the panel committee and stuff. So we're like, we're going to have to try and sneak him in, and then we can hang out with you all day, like buy you lunch or whatever. We'll just... You're wearing our shirt?
Right?
Oh, you're not? Here is one. You can put it on. Go change.
We are not shameless
cold.
At all.
Put on another shirt.
We also brought a jacket. It is cold right now. No, we'll let you go. Tell your wife and children, maybe just your wife. Tell her thank you so much for the time we got to steal from you. We know it's a Saturday night, and it means the world to us. Like, you know.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to have
very much fun.
Guys, thank you for having me. This was great.
Yeah, we will be in touch, I'm sure. We'll keep chatting, but we'll let you go. Thanks so much, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, you guys have a great one.
You too.
Bye.